FM WRDN。
Silver buckle hanging off her hips. I sparkle when she smiles. Shine down on the radio dial. Homemade jar of lemon drop. Take a sip. Don't stop, girl. You know I love it when you get your shine on. Cause you and me be rocking all night long. Summer sky dripping rhinestones. Turn your
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Apple says it will fight the antitrust lawsuit filed by the Justice Department and 16 states, saying the accusations that it created an illegal monopoly in the smartphone market are wrong on the facts and law. ABC News contributor Jack Date says the court battle won't be quick.
This has been years in the making, and resolving this could take many, many more years. Apple is an absolute colossus in the tech world, and bringing the suit to some sort of conclusion is not going to happen anytime soon.
Effective today, the judge in the civil fraud trial against Donald Trump has imposed a monitor over the Trump Organization to oversee the financial books and large transfers. Donald Trump facing a Monday deadline to post a nearly $500 million bond as he appeals the judgment. In Idaho, the manhunt for the escaped prisoner in Boise and his accomplice continues for a second day. The suspect shot and injured officers while an inmate was returning from a local hospital. This is ABC News. A stark warning over the crisis in Sudan. Aid agencies say the conflict from ongoing fighting has created one of the worst humanitarian crises in recent memory, adding that Sudan is on course to become the world's worst hunger crisis. Right now, more than one-third of the population, or about 18 million people, are facing acute food insecurity. The first round of the men's NCAA basketball tournament tipped off, and women's college basketball is also having a moment of its own. Here's ABC's Rihanna Nalai.
Deloitte forecasting for the first time women's elite sports will surpass $1 billion in revenue, a 300% increase from 2021. All five power conferences are seeing record-high ticket sales, with thousands of fans lined up to see some of their favorite players at tip-off. The get-in price for the women's Final Four is currently at $774, compared to $242 on the men's side.
Women's games begin tomorrow. Michelle Franz on ABC News.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Ever wonder what's around the next corner? Past the trees. Into the canyons. Over the mountains. Or through the desert. That's where adventure lives. Take a Nissan SUV and go find it.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has signed a letter calling for a two-state solution to end the Israel-Hamas war.
The Madison Democrat, who is up for re-election in November, was among 19 Democratic senators sending the letter to President Joe Biden this week calling for a two-state solution amid the ongoing war. The letter proposes establishment of a non-militarized Palestinian state led by a reformed Palestinian Authority. Wisconsin Republicans criticized Baldwin for signing on to the letter. A state party spokesperson said she wants to reward Hamas for its October 7th attacks with a Palestinian state. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A pair of bills signed by Governor Tony Evers means electric vehicle drivers in Wisconsin may soon have more places to recharge. Chelsea Campbell with Clean Wisconsin.
They're opening up $78 million of federal funding from the Biden administration to build out a statewide EV charging network where you'll be able to make your commute and bigger road trips with a lot more confidence that you'll be able to recharge your car.
Work on 64 charging stations could begin this fall, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss isn't a fan of the plan.
It should have never happened. It is a big, huge boondoggle.
Voss says the funding fails to address the real infrastructure needs of the state. An Eau Claire man is accused of shooting a crossbow toward a neighbor.
35-year-old Robert Willie is charged with recklessly endangering safety, use of a dangerous weapon, and disorderly conduct in the incident, which happened last Sunday. WEAU reports Eau Claire police responded to a report that a man had shot a crossbow near a neighbor. Nobody was injured, and Willie eventually surrendered to police, who found two crossbows inside of his home. A court hearing is scheduled for next week. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The calm before the storm. Clouds begin to thicken and snow chances start to move in after 10 p.m. The heaviest hit of snow will be overnight into early tomorrow morning. It'll start to lighten up and scatter out as we go through Friday afternoon, leaving us with around 2 to 5 inches. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 31 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Scott Brown from the University of Missouri. Then it's Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. Later, agronomist Dr. Mitchell Roth from FBN. And directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome your beloved host, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you, buddy. You know what? It's not very often that I do this, but I feel compelled, based on the feedback that I have received from this week's show, to point out a couple of things. Okay. Carbon intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you are interested in the carbon intensity score on your farm, you need to take a listen to Tuesday morning show with Mitchell Hora. I've been getting a lot of feedback on that one, guys.
Oh.
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's very helpful. It's very helpful in understanding how to get started in identifying your carbon intensity score. And then the farmer forum yesterday, I haven't gotten feedback on a farmer forum like what I'm getting right now on the farmer forum for a long time.
It was a real barn burner.
Oh, holy smokes, man. The labor issues that Karen and Laura talked about and what they are doing in an effort to draw some lawmaker attention to the problems in the ag labor world, I think really hit home with a lot of producers. Yeah. Yeah. So go back and listen to those. If you haven't had a chance, you need to give those a listen. Hey.
Yeah.
You know what else is going on?
What?
It's tournament time. I know. The first four games have already been played.
Uh-huh. I know.
But man, the schedule gets underway this morning. MSU versus MSU.
Oh.
Mississippi State, Michigan State, 11:15 Central. Let's get this, toss the ball in the air and let's get this thing started.
You're ready for the opening tip, aren't you? Huh?
Baby, I can't wait. I cannot wait. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
I'm going to start with the National Weather Service weather outlook, which calls for gusty winds and snow showers to linger across Maine today. Hello, Maine. As the next winter storm approaches northern New England by Saturday, a swath of light to moderate snow spreads from the northern plains to the Great Lakes by Friday. Sounds lovely. Strong winter storms expected this weekend. Thunderstorms and heavy rain return to the Gulf Coast today before unsettled weather shifts to the southeast and mid-Atlantic.
That is the definition of an active weather pattern country. Yeah, there it is.
Well, Chip, the Fed's dot plot showed that a growing number of officials were coalescing around the view that rates would end 2024 at 4.5 to 4.75%. That's equivalent to 3 25-quarter-point cuts in line with December's dot plot. However, fewer committee members are anticipating more than 3 cuts.
I'm to the point where I'm anticipating none. Right. Give the conversation with Ben Brown from the University of Missouri that we had yesterday afternoon on the show. Give that conversation a listen. We talked a lot about the dot plot.
Well, attention gold bugs out there. Gold prices surged above $2,200 per ounce on Thursday, building on gains from the previous session and reaching unprecedented levels. The surge came as the U.S. Federal Reserve affirmed its projection for 3 interest rate cuts throughout the year. Chip, Senate and House leaders released the 6-bill, 1,012-page second minibus package just before 3 a.m. Eastern time. They're now rushing to get a floor vote to the House Friday, followed by a Senate vote to avoid a partial government shutdown at midnight Friday.
Yeah, the House needs so many hours before they can get an 1,000-page bill.
Yeah, you think?
I think they need like 72 hours before they can vote on it.
Mm-hmm. I think Johnson waived that 72 hours, though.
Oh, did he?
I saw. Okay. Yes, he's waived it. Yep.
Okay.
Who has time to read anyway, Chip? Just sign it. We'll read it later.
We'll figure out what's in it after you sign it.
That's right. The House Ag Committee held a hearing Wednesday addressing concerns about China's purchases of U.S. farmland, with both Democrats and Republicans expressing concern about potential threats to national security. Although there was no consensus on how to address the issue, measures have been taken, such as including provisions in a fiscal 2024 spending bill to better track foreign purchases of ag land, particularly those from China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran.
Yeah, it absolutely is getting a high level of attention, the foreign purchases of ag land. Not so much the quantity, but the location of those.
Yes.
Of that land. Yeah.
Yep, that's fair. Well, the Department of Justice is reportedly preparing to file an antitrust lawsuit against Apple, potentially as early as this month, according to sources. The lawsuit alleges that Apple engages in anti-competitive practices that disadvantage its tech rivals by creating barriers to competition and increasing costs for them. Nothing worse than being around a bunch of Samsung people and all you need is an Apple charger. Chip?
Huh? That's right. That's
Samsung. Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, made an unexpected visit to Kyiv, Ukraine, where he assured reporters that the U.S. House of Representatives would pass a $60 billion aid package for Ukraine. He expressed confidence in achieving this plan, emphasized there was no need to consider alternative options. Meanwhile, Senator Lindsey Graham also visited Kyiv and suggested that former President Trump's proposal of providing aid as a no-interest waivable loan might be the most feasible option moving forward, Chip.
There you go. Let's try to get that payback, huh?
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Good luck. Good luck. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Chip. I'm very well. Thank you.
All right. These carcass weights up and up big time. What's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So the week ending March 2nd saw those steer carcass weights gain 5 pounds. Heifers up 12 pounds. That's over last year. And steer weights are now at 919 pounds, which is 20 pounds heavier than a year ago. So there's a lot of factors at play here, Chip. We've seen these cattle markets increase about $8 per hundred weight for those fed cattle in the last month or so. Same time, we got packers trying to hold a lid on those prices by reducing the kill, right? And cost of gains coming down a little bit. So there's an incentive for feed yards to hang on to the inventory they've got, keep feeding them. That's adding some weight to it. So some of the analysts are thinking maybe that we may be getting into a place where we don't quite have the leverage. Feed yards are, not quite as current as they were certainly at the 1st of February. So all of that, that loses leverage. At the same time, we're going into a demand season. We've seen beef demand We talk about these prices going up, and still people are buying beef. So the demand is there. And now we're getting into spring. We're going to be cooking burgers and steaks on the grill. So this cattle market is just crazy. And I know you've got Scott Brown coming up here pretty quick. It's, you know, well, this is some an of the incredible leverage, market.
Yeah, it is an incredible market. And some of the leverage that the feed yard has got is that the consumer is demanding more choice and more prime beef. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So packers are losing $100 a head at least. They've been doing that for a month. And obviously they're going to twist and turn to try and solve that puzzle. Yep. Doesn't look like they're going to get it done anytime soon.
Greg Henderson from Drovers.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except it didn't, because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, "Let there be Smartfoil." And the big bloom came, because Smartfoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about Smartfoil by Agroxene, or visit bigbeanbloom.com to
get more with Stein. When it comes to soybean breeding, more generations equals additional yield. 2.2% more yield per generation. By introducing more new genetics faster than any other seed company, Stein delivers on the Stein Has Yield promise. For elite genetics paired with simple, flexible, and effective weed control, plant Stein Enlist E3 soybeans. Stein Has Yield. Yield plus advantage. Learn more at steinseed.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Dude, you got the jackrabbits, don't you? Is it jackrabbits? Huh? Yeah?
Yes, the jackrabbits tonight.
Uh-huh. I saw
that. Absolutely. You should. Oh, man, it's been a few years ago. It was George Niang's senior year. We had, like, the first game in the tournament. Iowa State did. Started at, like, 11:15. Well, you know the timing, okay? The timing of these games.
Yeah.
That game went right up to 2 o'clock, right up to, I mean, it lasted until like 2:05, okay? Yeah. And Iowa State got beat.
Yeah. Yep.
Right as the bells were ringing to start the afternoon hour talk.
Yeah, I was sitting across the desk from you. It was quite the scene, man.
Oh, I'm surprised that the building survived it. Get your brackets filled out, people. Get your brackets filled out. It is time We are now officially less than an hour away from that MSU game. So here we go. Here we go. Okay, let's get to the topic of the segment with Dr. Scott Brown from the University of Missouri. Farm Journal, it works with the University of Missouri and specifically Scott to kind of take the temperature of ag economists from across the country on a monthly basis, trying to identify some of the pressure points, some of the opportunities in the ag industry. Survey goes on each month with the results detailed on agweb.com and right here on AgriTalk. Scott, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's great to talk with you again, buddy.
Hey, you bet, Chip. Glad to be on this morning.
Yep. You know, I can't even help myself. I can't help myself. You're not having to rearrange your schedule around the NCAA tournament this year, are you?
I was waiting for this conversation.
Yeah, ouch. A little harsh, Chip. A little harsh.
I don't have my bracket filled out, unfortunately.
No? Okay, well, probably better get that done. I am so sorry. Good grief. Hey, if you're looking for some good news, Iowa State was in the same position like 3 years ago. Did not win a conference game 3 years ago. So there you go.
I'm looking forward to the future, but I will give your Cyclones a lot of credit for that big win over Houston.
Yeah, that was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay, let's get to the survey. And as I said, it's a survey of ag economists from across the country trying to figure out exactly what it is that's affecting the ag economy right now. What are the primary drivers of today's economic health?
Well, I think when we look at that overall economic growth, or sorry, health, our economists have been continuing to say we're headed to what's a somewhat worse off outcome, if you will, Chip. And I think that has a lot to do with costs that stay high, crop prices in particular that continue to move lower and projected to move lower, that is creating a more of a cost price squeeze than we've come through the last few years.
Yep. You know, when we talk about what's going on, and the survey is based on conditions in March. Marcher is in February.
So we're going to talk the March ones today. So fairly recent survey results. We would have run this survey early last week.
Okay.
So that's the timing.
So we do have some strength in the soybean market in particular that is kind of factored into this. Has that had an impact on the outlook, say, for the next 6 months?
So, you know, Chip, it has. When you look at what our economists are saying for the 24-25 soybean crop, from February to the March survey, we went up about 30 cents on the annual average soybean price. So we did factor in some, or we did see some of that strength coming back through in the projections for March.
Right. You know, this what happened from the end of February to where we're at right now, Scott, is a great example of how the ag economy is a moving target with the price recovery that we've seen in beans. I know that it's not, you know, making money hand over fist with soybeans right now, but it's turned from a gloomy outlook to at least an outlook where there's some profit potential in it, hasn't it?
So absolutely. I think the key here is just the volatility. But when you look at what our folks are saying, you know, corn versus soybeans, 80% of our respondents were saying soybeans pencils the better return, which I think just reminds us of what's happening to markets as we move. And you start to look at the individual results from the survey, and, and I'll just say there's a lot of range from top to bottom. Even the ag economists, I think, struggle with the volatility that we face today in terms of projecting these forward-looking prices.
Okay. Global geopolitical tensions, they're about as high as I can remember. There's been times, obviously, where we've had troops on the ground in the Middle East and troops on the ground around the world that but with what's happening in Ukraine, with what's happening in Israel, with the Suez Canal and some other issues, and then everybody's looking at China trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen there next. These geopolitical influences are carrying some extra weight in the markets right now, aren't they?
It sure seems like it. When you think about China in particular, just what is their appetite for U.S. agricultural goods? It continues to be uncertain, I think, as we move forward. And you add on top of that everything else going on to that mix. And I'll say this global market continues to add volatility. I'm going to use volatility a lot today, I guess, but yet I'll say, Chip, we have to keep trying to participate in these global markets. That's where I think we can get some growth longer term. It's just a rocky road that we've been on of late, just given everything that's at play today.
Right, right. Okay, so there's some specifically happening with China that I think we need to talk about. What's the attitude about their openness that they're going to be building stockpiles of grains and oilseeds?
Yes. Well, so the sentiment certainly was, well, this is not unusual for the Chinese, especially at lower prices, to be thinking about building back stocks. They tend to like to hold large stocks, at least if you look at the long term. That might be the most benign kind of response that we got back. Others saying, hey, are the Chinese potentially preparing for increased conflict with the United States? And I say that more from a trade perspective. And whether or not they're saying, let's see what we can get in terms of stocks in case trade does become a big issue. And we know presidential elections here could be part of what's driving the Chinese in terms of decisions to build stocks right now. So.
Right.
Hard to know at the end of the day what they're thinking. We just need to continue to pay attention.
Yep. Okay. The livestock analysts, economists in the survey, what's their attitude about what's going on in cattle and hogs?
So I say it's hard not to be bullish cattle these days, Chip. I know you had Greg on, and I go, we're just going to be short supplies for a while yet. Sometimes say, you know, if I would have come on your show a couple of years ago and said, you know what, in 2024, we're going to average $1.85 fed cattle, I think we would have all gotten a big laugh about that and said that's not feasible. And yet we are here today just because of how dry weather is affected the industry around the country. So as long as demand stays with us, gosh, it's hard not to be bullish cattle. I will say hogs, on the other hand, so it's gotten better since we started the year. I was a little worried when we started 2024. We were in for a tough year on the hog side. And our respondents certainly had the lowest projections for a 24 price back in January. We've increased that about $3 to $4. And I'll say, although corn farmers don't want to hear this, lower corn prices, I think, help. Hearing some signs of producers that are saying for the first time in months they've maybe gotten break even on some hogs, and that's a much better position than they faced for all of 2023.
Yep. The one thing that's happening in the cattle industry that we need to make sure people understand is the segments are not being treated equally on the profit line at this time, are they?
They are not, Chip, and and it's a good point because we need all those segments long term.
Right.
So do I worry about margins for feed yards and packers in particular right now? I do.
Yeah.
And I more worry because I don't want to lose feed yard capacity and I don't want to lose shackle space.
Right.
Because sure enough, if we lose both of those things, we're going to want them back as some point down the road. I think we do grow the feed cow herd in this country.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Scott. I appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Chip. Go Cyclones.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds. Protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
All right, let's see here. Acuron Corn Herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, April milk down 35 to 1582, May down 18 to 1630, June down 27 to 1702, July down 22 at 1782. Live and feeder cattle markets mostly mixed. Some of the contracts are moving mostly higher. We've seen some higher cash markets in the south, but there's still the north holding out, and that's pressuring some of the prices. Feeder cattle also moving mostly mixed as well. A lot of positioning ahead of that cattle on feed report. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving mostly lower. Again, apprehension that pork cutouts are lower, especially bellies and ribs, down over $9. April live cattle up 90 cents to 188.70. March feeder cattle up 85 cents to 251. April hogs down 57 cents to 84.72. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn and soybeans are moving mostly mixed today as a little bit of combination of some profit taking and really the lack of any type of big news to help move the markets higher. And that has corn and beans moving mostly mixed. Wheat markets moving mostly lower due to strength in the dollar. Now, new crop corn still up a quarter to 475. New crop beans up 1.5 to 1201.75. May wheat in Chicago down 1 to 544. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Alcivia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Alcivia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Alcivia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Real early in life, money.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Okay, guys, the final rule on tailpipe emissions requirements was announced by the EPA yesterday. And many ag interests say that it is designed to push consumers away from the internal combustion engine to electric vehicles. Let's talk about it with Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you, man?
Doing great, Chip. How are you? And thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad that you are here. We need to better understand this. How does it work? How is the final rule on tailpipe emissions pushing consumers to EVs?
Yeah, it in essence, Chip, is an electric vehicle mandate. When you really look at the nuts and bolts of how this regulation operates, the only way that automakers will be able to meet these standards moving forward is to build more electric vehicles. And really, the way this whole regulatory framework is set up is every year automakers must meet, on average, a certain tailpipe emission standard, and that is expressed in grams of CO2 per mile. Mm-hmm. And that number goes lower and lower and lower each year, forcing the automakers to produce cleaner and cleaner vehicles that emit less CO2 each year. So the standards that were finalized yesterday finalize a standard of 82 grams of CO2 per mile by 2032. And to give you some context of what that number means, today we're at around 235, 240 grams per mile is the standard. So okay. Automakers have to go from 240 today to 80 in less than 10 years. And the only way they're going to be able to do that, and they've all said this, is to produce more electric vehicles because, Chip, under these regulations, EPA gives electric vehicles a zero when it comes to figuring that number into the average. And so, again, if you have to hit an 82 gram per mile standard and building an electric vehicle gives you a zero that you can write into that average, you're going to build more electric vehicles. And that's what the autos have said they'll do. And so in that way, this regulation really does force their hand. I know EPA says, oh, no, they don't have to build electric vehicles. This is a flexible standard. They can do whatever they want. Well, yeah. Come on, let's be real. This thing is forcing them to do EVs.
So my question, my follow-up question to all of this was going to be, are we looking at just the tailpipe emissions or the lifetime emissions to build the batteries, to dispose of the batteries, to build the machine itself? But obviously, if EVs get a zero, this is just strictly tailpipe. It's got nothing to do with the construction of the batteries in the vehicle.
That's right. And that's what's so disingenuous about this regulation to begin with, is if you're only looking at the tailpipe, then yes, EVs are going to get a zero. They don't even have a tailpipe, right? But that says nothing about all of the upstream emissions associated with burning coal to make electricity, burning natural gas to make electricity, mining minerals out of the ground to make these batteries, mining the metals out of the ground to build these vehicles, and then disposing of the batteries. None of that is included in this thing. And so, of course, they're going to get a zero. If you put blinders on and only focus on that one narrow piece of the life cycle, EVs are going to look great. But what we've been saying all along is, let's look at the full life cycle of different vehicles and different fuels. Let's compare them on an apples to apples basis. And when you do that, low carbon fuels like ethanol, especially when they're used in vehicles like a flex fuel vehicle, are going to stack up very competitively. And in many cases, they're going to do better than electric vehicles when it comes to the true greenhouse gas impacts of these vehicles.
Jeff, I'm telling you right now, if there was a proposal put forward by the ag groups that ignored the long list of items that you just gave us that is listed off, and if an ag group or a renewable fuels group ignored it, you'd just get railed on.
Chip, so what we've said is, hey, if we're only looking at the tailpipe, then ethanol should be zero emissions too. You know why? Because when CO2 from ethanol combustion in an engine comes out of a tailpipe, that's the same amount of CO2 that is going to be absorbed from the atmosphere by the next crop of corn.
Right.
If we're only counting that very narrow piece of the life cycle, then ethanol and other biofuels should be carbon neutral, zero emissions too. But that's not how they look at biofuels, right? They look at, well, how much energy was used to plant the crop? How much energy was used to harvest a crop, and what were the emissions associated with that? What happened when you converted the ethanol or the corn to ethanol at the ethanol plant? There was energy use and emissions there. We get dinged for all of that in these regulations, and yet EVs get a pass.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if corn could just get credit for the carbon that it sinks in the following year, following production year, corn-based ethanol would be way, way, way ahead in all of this, and you can't even get credit for that.
No.
Is there a next step in all of this, or is this the final rule that car makers are going to have to deal with? Is there an appeal process?
Well, this may be the final rule, but it's not the final word on this, I would say, Chip. I think it is almost a guarantee that there is going to be litigation on this rule. Folks will have 60 days to file complaints and challenges on this rule in the D.C. Circuit Court. I fully expect that there are going to be many of those. There are going to be lots of folks lined up to sue EPA over this regulation. And really, there's several grounds for a challenge of this regulation. I mean, EPA just got scolded in the West Virginia case a few years ago. Mm-hmm. By trying to take the same approach on the Clean Power Plan, where the court said you cannot use regulations to mandate or dictate certain technologies and allocate markets in the way that you're trying to do. Well, this is the exact same approach they're taking to EVs. Yeah. So I do believe there's going to be a fairly aggressive litigation on this matter, and we'll see how that all plays out.
Okay. All right. Help me understand one other thing. So EPA has their goals. The Biden administration has their goals on tailpipe emissions. How close can they get with existing fuel and maybe the next generation of the internal combustion engine? How close could they get?
Well, Chip, there's a lot of research out there showing that today we could be doing so much more to reduce emissions from the existing fleet of 270 million vehicles on the road if we just allowed greater, higher levels of renewable fuels. If just a simple step of going from E10 to E15 nationwide is going to cut about 16 to 18 million metric tons of CO2. So again, it's very frustrating because it feels like this administration is fixated on one way of reducing emissions from the light duty vehicle fleet. And electrification, again, if we're being fair and comparing apples to apples, electrification may not get them where they want to go in terms of emissions reductions. There are things we can do today with liquid fuels and internal combustion engines that we ought to be looking at.
So when these targets that are included in this final rule are missed, what happens?
Yeah.
Are there penalties?
Yeah. There are penalties, and some of the automakers are already paying major penalties because they're not able to meet today's tailpipe emission standards. And so there's a credit trading program very similar to what we see with the RFS, where if an individual automaker, if their fleet-wide average is below the national standard, then they're generating extra credits. And they can sell those credits to automakers who are not meeting the standard, who are higher than the standard. You've got a number of automakers that have not been able to meet the tailpipe emissions standard the last few years. And so they've been forced to go into the market and buy credits. And guess who they're buying credits from? Tesla. Tesla has amassed this massive, massive bank of compliance credits, again, because every EV that they're producing is counted as a zero emissions vehicle. So they're amassing a huge credit bank.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why when you look at the total net worth or worth of Tesla versus Ford, Tesla is like 10 times the value of Ford because they built up these credits. It's amazing.
And it's a huge asset on their balance sheet. And meanwhile, you've got kind of the legacy automakers that have a liability when it comes to meeting these standards because they're building the vehicles that consumers say they want, which is internal combustion engines and trucks and SUVs. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. The automakers, many of them are not at all happy with what EPA finalized yesterday, even though EPA, sort of advertised this as, hey, we're relaxing this final rule a little bit from what we proposed, and this is going to be friendlier to the automakers. Many of them are not seeing it that way.
Right. Okay, we're waiting on EPA. We've only got about a minute left here. We're waiting on EPA with another final adjustment, and that is on the GREET model. Any word on when that's coming, Jeff?
Well, we're still being told, look at late March, early April for that revised version of the GREET model that's going to be used for the sustainable aviation fuel tax credits. And yes, EPA is involved in that, but so is DOE, so is USDA, so is the Treasury, so is the White House. So it's really got to go through all these checks before they'll release this thing. this is the model chip. You'll remember that we were promised we were going to see back on March 1st.
Right.
And March 1st came and went, and they said, well, we're still working on it, so give us a few more weeks. So we do expect, hopefully, to see something in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, and we can finally get some clarity on the way forward for sustainable aviation fuel, and frankly, whether corn ethanol is going to have a role to play there or not.
Yep. We need some positive news there, that is for sure. Jeff, and it's a busy day for you, buddy. I know that. Thank you for making time for us.
Hey, I'm always happy to make time for you, Chip. I appreciate the opportunity, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jeff. That is Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. We'll be back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
I wish I could get this stupid jar open.
Jars can be tough, am I right?
Who are you? And how'd you get in my kitchen?
It's me, Flo, and I'm here to grant your wish of easily switching to Progressive and helping you get a discount that honors the time spent with your previous insurer.
Great, but what does that have to do with getting this jar open?
Nothing.
So you can't open this?
Oh, I just do insurance. Jars I leave to the professionals.
Sign up for Progressive and opt into more savings. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
Chris Weaver is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor from Maryland. He joins us right now. Chris, look ahead to this season that's coming up. What are your plans for the genetics and what are you anticipating?
So we bought a new planter this year, so we've been retrofitting it all season long. So that's one of the big challenges we've been dealing with this winter. We're glad to finally get the moisture. We're getting rain. We're getting a snowfall. So we're seeing our water table increase. One of the big challenges we're going to be faced with, again, is how do we continue to keep growing these high yields? And how do we push the envelope? You know, my goal is to be the first guy to 200 bushel no-till non-irrigated.
Okay.
And I think we're on the way. We've done 160. We've gone down since then, but we're going to push it till we get to 200 bushel. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything correctly. We're already out starting to get our fertilizer out there. We're trying to mitigate humic sugars, everything out on the field right now. We're already stalk management and everything's already done. So we're pretty well set for the table. We just need Mother Nature to cooperate.
All right. You're in kind of a unique position that you're also a Golden Harvest seed advisor. How do you take what you learn each and every year and transfer that knowledge over to your customers?
So it's great to be a seed advisor because now I get to see the genetics most times before it's released on the market. We get to do plots. So we can take that experience and say, guys, we've already planted it. Now we can figure out, hey, if you got a shale soil, this is the right bean for that shale soil. The thing that we do for corn is we pick the right hybrid for the right acre. We don't do that for beans. We buy boxes, right? So the one thing that we've been telling guys is you need to start picking the bean for the right acre. We're getting ahead in the future here, yes, by doing that.
Yeah, the point that you're making about making sure that the right product is on that right acre, without the equipment and the precision equipment that we've got, it all works together.
It all starts at the planter, okay? Yeah. We all agree. But if you're not putting the right seed through that planter on the right acre, then your planting just went to hell in a handbasket is what I like to say.
Yep. Get it right from the beginning. Chris Weaver, grower in Pinkston, Maryland. He is a Golden Harvest grower and seed advisor. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Are you ready to maximize your yields? Use Germinator Steel Closing Wheels. Germinator Steel Closing Wheels provide a 13-bushel advantage per acre in no-till and a 7-bushel advantage per acre in conventional as compared to standard rubber wheels.
Caution! Please confirm that you have additional space in your bin before adopting Germinator Closing Wheel Systems.
Call 712-520-6051 or visit farmshopmfg.com to place your order today.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. It is not unusual for us to have a conversation about the ENSO patterns, El Nino, La Nina, and how they are impacting global weather patterns and, most importantly, impacting conditions right in the middle of the country. We're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Mitchell Roth from Farmers Business Network, where he is an agronomist. Mitchell, it's good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Yep. I'm good. Glad that you are here. The report that you guys put together, I think, is pretty fascinating. How will El Nino impact U.S. farmers this year? Let's bottom line it for everyone, Mitchell. What is that impact going to be?
Yeah, so that impact is going to very much depend on where about you are located in the U.S., but these large-scale weather patterns do have some predictability to them. So we're currently experiencing an El Nino weather pattern, which is starting to taper off. So as we've seen, we've had a bit of a milder winter in a big portion of the country, a little bit drier. There's some drought conditions out there. But we'll be transitioning into a La Nina weather pattern, which would mean colder, wetter conditions for some of those same regions currently experiencing warm and dry conditions. So it really depends on where you're at. But overall, we can typically expect perhaps a little bit earlier planting this year because it has been warmer, drier. Some guys have been itching to get out there and plant already. Although here in Michigan, where I'm at, we are expecting about 6 inches of snow tomorrow. So I hope guys around me haven't planted yet. But really, it depends on where you're at. And the full report will highlight and show regionality. So I encourage you to check it out.
Okay, perfect. Now, that transition and the speed of the transition from an El Nino to a La Nina can really have an impact on how much of an impact is felt, especially in the Western Corn Belt, from La Nina conditions, correct?
Correct.
So when, from an agronomist point of view, then, what do you want growers thinking about as we get set for this growing season?
Yeah, so I want growers primarily focused on conditions at planting. Because of the warm and dry winter that we've had, warmer and drier compared to most other winters, it can be really tempting to get out there and try and push your planting as early as possible. But there's still some strong logic and wisdom to wait until ideal conditions. If you're in an area where like further south, for instance, they've had a little bit more moisture and it might be a little bit too wet, there are some negative effects that can come into play when you plant into soil that's too wet. You can get lack of oxygen in your growing seedling roots. You can get sidewall compaction, so overall poor root development. And then vice versa, if you're planting into an area where it's too dry, if you're not planted deep enough, your seeds might not be able to take up as much moisture as it needs to actually germinate and grow and get out of the soil. So it's really important to be scouting your fields and monitoring for good fit conditions as far as soil temperatures and moisture.
Yep, we've said it a million times. The sins of spring show up on the yield monitor in the fall. There's no question about it. So that last thing that you said there, let's make sure that the conditions are fit and ready to go. That is number one on the priority list. Let's think a little bit differently and a little bit of a different angle. How might this impact some of the disease pressures that farmers that we're having to deal with every year, it seems like?
Yeah, great question. We've talked a lot about planting conditions, but what about later in the season? How will the weather affect development and disease pressure? Yeah, it's a great question. We often think about cool, wet conditions as being the most favorable for disease, which is true for some diseases, but not all diseases. So if you're in a region that's going to transition into the La Nina and expect cool, wet conditions, well, then you might anticipate some higher likelihood of seedling diseases, the Phytophthoras and Pythiums. Some disease, even tar spot has shown it doesn't like a ton of heat. It does okay in some warmer weather, but too hot and tar spot seems to decrease in prevalence. But if you're in an area where it's going to experience a hot and dry type of summer, you may not see some of those diseases quite as bad. But charcoal rot is one that it can affect both corn and soybeans, and it really loves warm, dry conditions. Soybean cyst nematode can finish its life cycle much quicker in warmer conditions. So there's lots of different ways that the environment will influence disease pressure. And I guess my best advice is to look ahead at how the weather might be affecting your area and plan ahead accordingly based on diseases you've seen in your fields in past years.
Okay, Mitchell, we got to bring all this back to the bottom line. And a lot of that is going to be driven by the average yield, the national average yield on corn and soybeans. From what you see in the long-term weather outlook, are you adding to or taking away from trendline yields on corn and beans?
Yeah, so fortunately, the data suggests that in an El Nino or La Nina year, corn typically gets a little bit of a yield bump, anywhere between, I think, 4 to 6 bushels is what the report says. You can see the details in the report there. And soybeans tend to do a little bit better in El Nino years than they do La Nina years. So bottom line means, we're coming out of an El Nino year and entering La Nina. Yep. So soybeans may not get that yield bump quite the same way corn does, but if we're prepared, gotcha. We should have a good crop either way.
Gotcha. How did we get a hold of this report, Mitchell?
You can go to fbn.com/Nino to find the full report and fbn.com for any other needs you might have this year.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mitchell. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks again.
You bet. Dr. Mitchell Roth, FBN agronomist. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Sure appreciate it. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing. Lots of ground to cover with Sam. And tomorrow morning, we got the free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines,